I'm the dopest of the dopest. Hater, I know you know this. My style's still the precious and mine is still the coldest. Don't you lose focus, the paper is still the gold.
Not for $1 million will I sell my soul.
Back against the wall, but I'm in love with the pressure.
3, 2, 1, and we're live. 3&D, Signs in Sports Podcast.
What's going on, guys? Welcome to another episode and a special episode of the 3&D Signs in Sports Podcast. This is the Mia Made It series, and we are here to talk about WrestleMania 41 live from Las Vegas, live from Allegiant Stadium. Guys, you can catch it on Peacock. I'm not sure if it starts at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock. Mia, how about look that up, see what time it starts. But, guys, we are here with Mia Made It. Mia, say what's up to everybody.
What's up, everybody?
And we do have a special guest on the show with us. Everybody say what's up to Miriam, and Miriam say what's up to everybody. So we are here, guys, as we said, to talk about WrestleMania 41, the Super Bowl of the WWE, the biggest marquee event in WWE's calendar. And before we get into that, you guys make sure to like, subscribe, and leave a rating review on the show. You can do that on Spotify. You can follow the show's podcast page on Facebook at 6 o'clock, guys. That's what time it starts. Thank you, Mia. You can also follow the Mia Made It page on Facebook as well. And you can also follow me on Facebook at Design Individually Gifted. And you can follow me on Spotify at DIG for any, hip-hop music. Everybody who has been listening to this show knows that by now. But yeah, we're here. Guys, I hate to break it to you, but this is the second time that we will be recording this episode. Everybody knows technical difficulties come with the podcast experience. And, you know, me and Mia are here, and Miriam is here for the second time as well. So, Mia, you want to talk a little bit about how we recorded an hour and 40 minutes yesterday, and here we are doing it again?
Yeah, we recorded such a solid episode yesterday.
So solid.
For a very long time, to the point where I was sweating so bad, and I was so glad to have it over with. I have never been happy to end a podcast episode and just for it to all disappear. But hopefully we can redeem ourselves with this one, because for some reason they just hate us.
And we learned our lesson, right, Mia?
Yes.
Miriam, how do you feel about the fact that we were in here last night recording for 90 minutes, and here we are again about to record for the same?
I feel very disappointed that Mia left her headphones on the keyboard.
Guys, technical difficulties, as I said, it comes with the podcast experience. It's these type of things that, you know, you either get through it and do it again, or you quit and you give up. But as everybody knows, we've been here for, this is our third year now, our third WrestleMania. We're talking about second full calendar year that we will be doing, and we have no intentions or plans of stopping, guys. So, you know, the fact that we're doing it for the second time, let's just get into it. We have 13 matches to talk about today, guys, for WrestleMania 41. We have, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. 14 matches to talk about, actually. And we are going... 14? Yeah. 3, 6, 9, 12, 13, 14. Yeah. So, that's what we're going to do, and we're going to talk about each and every one of these matchups. Miriam, thank you for joining us again. Mia, as always, here we are again. I am the D to the 3&D Signs in Sports Podcast, DIG, and this is, of course, my co-host and partner in crime, Mia Made It. So the first matchup that we are going to talk about, and the first matchup that we are going to cover, is Rey Mysterio versus El Grande. Actually, before we do that, Mia, go ahead and run down the match card for both nights, or the matches we can see from both nights.
The matches we can see are, first off, Rey Mysterio versus El Grande. Then we have Jade Cargill versus Naomi. AJ Styles versus Logan Paul. Randy Orton versus a mysterious opponent. Damian Priest versus Drew McIntyre. A Intercontinental Championship Fatal 4-Way match, which includes Dominic Mysterio, Penta, Bron Breakker, and Finn Balor. Then we have a United States Championship match, LA Knight versus Jacob Fatu. Then we have the WWE Women's Championship match with Charlotte Flair versus the champion Tiffany Stratton. Then we have a triple threat match for the Women's World Championship with Rhea Ripley, Bianca Belair, and Io Sky. Then we have a World Heavyweight Championship match with Jey Uso versus Gunther. And the main event of Night 1 of WrestleMania, a triple threat match between Seth Rollins versus CM Punk versus the OTC, Roman Reigns. Then the main event for Night 2 of WrestleMania, we have a Undisputed WWE Championship match with Cody Rhodes versus the man we can't see, John Cena.
All right, guys. So before we get started, we'll go ahead and go through each of us, and we will talk. Let's talk about what match are you guys most excited to see when it comes to WrestleMania Night 1 and Night 2. Just the match that you're most looking forward to.
For me, the match I am most excited for is probably either the triple threat match or the WWE Women's Championship match with Tiffany Stratton and Charlotte Flair.
Miriam?
The ones I'm most excited for is obviously the triple threat and then Jade Cargill versus Naomi.
And the ones that I am the most excited for would probably be John Cena and Cody Rhodes and Tiffany Stratton and Charlotte Flair. I can't wait to talk about Tiffy and Charlotte and talk about everything that, you know, transpired between them two. But, you know, before we can get to that, we have probably about 11 matches that we got to talk about before. So first match that we're going to talk about Rey Mysterio. And we're going to talk about El Grande Americano. You know, guys, what do you think is going to happen? Who do y'all want to win? Mia, starting with you.
For this match, I say that El Grande is going to win, obviously, because he's the greatest of all time. And he's not Chad Gable. So I'm going to go and I'm going to lock in my pick with El Grande. Miriam?
I also think that El Grande is going to win because he's the GOAT and he's the greatest luchador of all time. And he's just like, he's like the best. And like Rey Mysterio is going to take that pin.
I think I'm going to go ahead and agree, guys. There's going to be a few of these that we're going to agree on. There's going to be a lot of them that we're not going to agree on. The greatest luchador of all time, Rey Mysterio, you know, or Americano. El Grande Americano, you guys make your decision and choose who you think is a gloat. But hailing from the Gulf of America, I am going to, you know, put my pick in for El Grande Americano. Don't have a lot of feelings invested into this matchup. I don't really, you know, didn't really dig too much into the build-up or anything like that. Don't really care what happens at the end of the day, but I think Rey Mysterio has had his you know, he's had his WrestleMania moments. I don't think they're using this WrestleMania match by any means to put Rey Mysterio over or into a title picture. I think the gimmick with El Grande is actually the thing that's going to go over for WrestleMania to the satisfaction or non-satisfaction of the crowd, you know, and the IWC, which we all know is very difficult to please. But yeah, you know, with Donald Trump in attendance, I think that El Grande Americano is going to be the one that will be taking the pinfall victory. And I think that Rey Mysterio, like Miriam said, will be taking that pinfall and taking the loss. The next match we're going to talk about, we got the World Tag Team Championships up for grabs. We got the New Day going for their 13th tag team title reign up against the War Raiders. Eric and Ivar. Guys, what do y'all think is going to happen? Who do you think is going to win and why?
I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to let Miriam answer before me. So, Miriam, who do you think is going to win and who do you want to win?
So, I want the New Day to win because I've never been that big of a War Raiders fan. And so since I haven't been that big of a War Raiders fan, I haven't really seen how they wrestle or how they do things. And I don't know, but I think that Big E is going to come. I don't know if he's going to try to convince them not to be heel. I don't know if he's going to turn heel against them. But it depends on what and if Big E comes, what happens.
I agree with Miriam, like we talked about yesterday. I do think Big E returning is a big possibility, even if it's not to be competing in the ring. Maybe just to come for the story, because the last time we saw Big E was when the New Day kind of, you could say, kind of kicked him out, kind of just left him in the dust. So I agree with Miriam, and I'm going to also go with the New Day. I've never been a War Raiders fan. I don't think they're really relevant. I'm not saying they aren't good wrestlers, but...
Don't get us canceled now.
They aren't the ones I'd sit and I'd watch.
So, I agree, and I kind of have the same opinion. I still think the Hardy Boys are the greatest tag team of all time. I'll just put that out there right now. I respect and enjoy what the New Day have done. Like them a lot more as heels, but I mean, what can you expect? I'm an adult, you know what I mean? So, what would happen, or do you think there's any chance that Big E could come and turn heel and rejoin the New Day, say as a manager or something like that? Are there whispers that Big E is going to be coming back?
Not that I know of. I think that was just kind of like a conspiracy that Miriam and I shared.
Okay. So if he does come back, do you think it'd be more possible that he would come back to join the New Day as a heel?
I think so. I think it's a very high possibility that he can, because I don't think they're going to put him with the War Raiders.
Yeah.
Miriam, what do you think about Big E coming back?
I don't really know. I don't think I can see Big E as a heel. I think if he comes back, he's just going to keep being a fake. And maybe some point in his career that he can become a heel.
I think she meant face, guys. I don't think she meant fake. So let's calm down, everybody out there. Don't, you know, that's already three things at this point that you guys could probably cancel us for. I'm just kidding. It's WrestleMania season. I'm so excited. I'm so hyped up about tonight. You know, it's finally here. You know, I feel like not too long ago it was like 70 days away, 80 days away, and here we are, you know, mere hours away from the actual event at this point. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the pre-show is actually up and going right now. So, guys, you're welcome. You have something to listen to right before WrestleMania, you know, by the time this is coming out. But so much of this content was talked about last night. As I said, guys, we spent an hour and 40 minutes talking about each of these matches. It was, you know, so we're going to try to re-go over everything. Hopefully, everybody's rejuvenized and refreshed for a brand new episode. But... yeah, here we are to talk about the happenings, or the what will be happening for WrestleMania Night 1 and WrestleMania Night 2. So, I think, again, I'm not too big of a fan, don't have too much of an emotional investment in this match. I think it's going to be a good match. I think you have the high flyers, the athletic ability of the New Day, and then you have the powerhouse nature of the War Raiders. I think if Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods are kind of pushing in their promos about them becoming 13-time, you know, tag champions, I think that's more or less the route that we're gonna end up going on. I think that's the journey they're gonna end up taking us on. And actually, I wouldn't hate it, you know, seeing the heel New Day, you know, become champions and see what they're able to do. I wouldn't mind it. So I'm gonna go ahead and lock my pick in for the New Day. Mia, you're going with.
I am also going with the New Day.
And then Miriam?
Also going with New Day.
Okay, so next matchup that we're going to talk about, we have Randy Orton versus a mystery opponent. We don't know, but there are people being talked about. You know, there's whispers, rumors about who Randy Orton could be facing in this open challenge at WrestleMania. The last open challenge we saw at WrestleMania, we saw Cody Rhodes come back. It was Seth Rollins at WrestleMania 38 in Dallas. You know, that was back in 2022. Randy Orton versus a mystery opponent. Any ideas, guys, of who y'all think could come back or who it will be that will accept that challenge?
Miriam, you can go ahead and tell us who you think it will be.
So I think that the opponents might be either Rusev, Aleister Black from AEW, because I've heard that he just didn't renew his contract, or maybe almost.
Mia?
I agree with the Aleister Black thing. I saw just recently that there was a thing that went out on SmackDown, I guess, with like a date.
Last night, yeah.
Specific date for something. I can't remember what the date was, but...
April 25th, 2025.
And I know a lot of people were saying that was going to be Aleister Black. So, my opinion, I think it's going to be somebody on the roster. Maybe like a younger talent like Carmelo Hayes, like we said yesterday. Or maybe Austin Theory, just to throw him back into, you know, the pit. I personally think it's going to be Carmelo Hayes. You know, he just won the Andre the Giant Rumble. So I'm going to go with Carmelo Hayes.
I'm glad you said that about Carmelo, because he did just win the Andre the Giant Battle Royale yesterday on SmackDown. And there was already rumors when we heard about Kevin Owens. You know, and the first we heard about his neck injury and having to step away from the ring for a little bit. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the first athlete that was mentioned was Carmelo Hayes. A lot of people were opposed to it. They didn't necessarily want to see just a random feud be thrown in there. But, you know, Carmelo Hayes was the breakout superstar in NXT. He's now the Andre the Giant Battle Royale winner for 2025. I wouldn't mind seeing it. So, only because the Aleister Black thing, Omos would be also an interesting one. I'm not going to lie. Omos versus Randy Orton would be an interesting match for Randy Orton, and it'd be a lot more challenging. I think the match that would be the most eventful and the most exciting would be against Carmelo Hayes. And then Rusev, I'm just not really... I'm sorry, I'm just not really a Rusev guy. It's never been Rusev Day for me, you know. But I don't see the draw. I don't see the appeal. I didn't understand why he was so over. But then again, don't really know much about Rusev, his experience, or his history in wrestling, period. So, you know, don't listen to me when it comes to these types of things, because don't know anything about him, unless he's going to bring Lana back, you know, shout out. But Randy Orton, let's go with somebody who's already on the main roster, and let's talk about Carmelo Hayes versus Randy Orton. If that were to end up being the case, who do you think would win and why?
For me, I think it's time for Carmelo Hayes. I think, like we talked about yesterday, he's a superstar. In the future, he is going to be... He's going to be at any WrestleMania he can be, and I see him holding a main title in the future. So I think it's his time for Randy to put him over at WrestleMania, because if it's going to be anybody, it should be Randy for Carmelo. So I'm going with Team Carmelo. Miriam?
I'm also going with Carmelo, because I think it's time for Carmelo to shine. I've been seeing his recent stuff lately, and he's such a good wrestler, and his mic skills are amazing, and I think he's the future of WWE, so I can definitely see him winning at WrestleMania against Randy.
The WWE has their hands full with talent going into the future. When you think about guys like Austin Theory, Carmelo Hayes, Tiffany Stratton, you know, there's Rhea Ripley being as young as she is as well. There's so many people that are going to continue to carry the torch. Logan Paul, even, you know, being, I believe he's, what, 28, 29 years old, possibly 30.
I think he's like 28.
So there's so much talent going forward in the future. Carmelo Hayes versus Randy Orton, I don't think you get a loser. I think it's a win-win situation for Carmelo Hayes overall. I think just having a WrestleMania match, if that is the direction that they end up going, I think that's going to be a win-win for him, because whether you lose to Randy Orton, or obviously the bigger scenario, you end up beating Randy Orton, you know, you beat Randy Orton, your career, you know, kind of skyrockets into the next level, and you end up, you know, you're going to be on track to do some really big things in the WWE. Just getting a match with Randy Orton at WrestleMania, that alone is enough to solidify yourself as somebody who will be in the WWE for a long time. And as Miriam said, he's him, you know, and as Mia said, he is him. He will be him in the future. He is him now, and I look forward to seeing what happens. But that being said, the fact that I don't believe that there's any way that Carmelo could lose theoretically in this position, I'm going to go with Randy Orton, because I do believe that that will be the... I think Randy Orton's on track to get another title shot, you know, soon. Especially if John Cena were to beat Cody Rhodes, or even if not, he did tell Cody Rhodes, no matter who wins the belt, or if you do beat John Cena, I'm next. You know, I'm telling you right now, face to face. So I'm going to go with Randy Orton, because as much as I would like to see Carmelo Hayes win, I don't think it's absolutely necessary in the moment. Carmelo is one of my favorite wrestlers at the moment. Did he make my top 10? I don't remember. I don't think so, right?
I can't remember either.
I can't remember. Don't know if he made it. If he didn't, I'll be a little surprised. Wasn't necessarily the biggest fan when he first came in. Kind of looked a little normal to me, a little average. But one thing you can't deny about Carmelo Hayes is he's got it in the ring. He's got it on the mic. A little smaller of a guy. But small guys aren't people who necessarily don't succeed in the WWE. So I'm going to go with Randy, but only for the fact that win or lose, I think it's a win-win for Carmelo Hayes regardless. And I think the WWE might have Randy Orton on track to go chase another championship. And a WrestleMania win would get him a little bit closer. And I think a loss for Randy Orton would hurt him a lot more than what a loss for Carmelo would do. So, guys, as we said, hypothetically, theoretically, that's, you know, we're speaking about a mystery opponent. We don't know who it's going to be. But if it is Carmelo, I think that'd be a good choice. But I think the girls are speaking from a place of WWE. Don't be scared to pull the trigger on somebody like Carmelo Hayes. The next matchup we're going to talk about Jade Cargill and Naomi. This one, as everybody knows, has had one of the better builds in WrestleMania. Speaking of builds of WrestleMania, before we get into that, let's talk about the build for WrestleMania. How do you guys feel about it so far? Are y'all interested? Are y'all, you know, kind of like indifferent about it? Hasn't really made y'all's mind up in any way? How do y'all feel about how the build has gone so far?
For me, I've personally enjoyed it. At first, it started up a little slow at first, but then, it picked up, and it's been really interesting. I didn't expect the matches we got on the card for this year, but it is a pretty stacked card, and I'm really excited for what Triple H is going to put on for us. Miriam?
I agree with Mia. I haven't really been following the WrestleMania, like, hype or whatever, but the match card is very stacked, and I'm really excited to see what goes down.
And as everybody knows, I've told you guys this for the last, I think, you know, 4, 5, 6 months possibly at this point. You know, tap into our Signs and Sports Cash App, leave some donations, help the podcast grow, because lately I haven't been able to watch wrestling. I think I watched my first wrestling, I watched SmackDown for the first time last night, and I only got to watch a little bit because obviously we had to record. But from what I have seen on social media, it's been a fair build. There's a lot of mixed reviews amongst the IWC, people who have liked it, people who have not liked it. But I mean, like we talked about last night, not a lot that you can do when you've had the three WrestleManias that we've had the last 3 years. You know, very big WrestleManias, a lot of big moments, a lot of big matches. And, you know, I think this WrestleMania, the two main events and a couple of the matches are going to be what carries it along the way. So, Naomi and Jade Cargill, what do you guys think is gonna happen? Who do y'all think is going to win and why?
Miriam, you could go ahead and take this match first.
So I think I'm going off bias, but I'm the D1 Naomi Glazer. I love Naomi so much. That is my queen, right? I love her. So I think that she's going to win. I also think she's going to win because Jade Cargill has barely any losses. And I think that since Naomi's starting her heel journey, that they're going to start to build her, like, her character up more and make her look more intimidating, more strong, etc.
Mia?
I agree. I do believe a WrestleMania win for Naomi would set her career off, like, would set it to skyrocket like it hasn't been before. Like you said yesterday, this is some of the greatest work she's ever done, if not the greatest work she has done in her career. I feel like this is what they brought her back for. They didn't bring her back just for the glow gimmick. I think they brought her back for this. I think it's her time.
Naomi, the heel gimmick that she's been using so lately, the proceed with caution Naomi, as Mia said, I do believe it's some of the best work that I've seen personally. I started watching again in 2018, so I believe she's been under the glow gimmick for a pretty long time, you know, if not the last 7 years. And I think a refresh for her character and a reset for her character is a good thing, and I think it's something that she's going to benefit from. Now, my question is always, when you have a larger-than-life superstar like Jade Cargill, can you afford to give her a loss at WrestleMania? Miriam did mention the fact that Jade hasn't lost very much, you know, so could she afford it? And if she does take the pin to Naomi, is that something that'll hurt her character? That's something that is left to be seen, and something will obviously feel the impact and the ripple effect going forward after WrestleMania, post-WrestleMania. I'm going to go with Jade Cargill only because I'm always going to be against your larger-than-life characters taking losses in those situations. But with this new gimmick that Naomi is presenting and is showing and is working under, I think she's somebody that we could very much see hold a championship. You know, whether, and I don't think a mid-card championship is what they're thinking about either. You know, I think this proceed with caution Naomi is somebody who can very much compete and or win a main card championship like the Women's World Championship or the WWE Women's Championship. What they end up doing, I don't know. We'll see tonight or tomorrow night whenever that match ends up happening. I don't know. Is it night one or two?
I think it's tonight, if tonight. I'm mistaken.
Do you have the matches for each night? Do you know which is going to be which? Okay, pull that up so we can talk about which matches are... Not talk about which ones are which, but so we can let them know which matches will be happening each night.
I just don't know where Randy's match is going because they just released that. Oh, that's coming on night two. I was going to say, I believe
Sunday, right?
Okay, so our night one match card is the World Tag Team Championship match with the War Raiders and the New Day. Then we have El Grande versus Rey Mysterio, Jade Cargill versus Naomi, the United States Championship match between LA Knight and Jacob Fatu. Then we have the World Heavyweight Championship with Jey Uso and Gunther, the WWE Women's Championship match tonight between Tiffany Stratton and Charlotte Flair, then obviously the Triple Threat, the main event, CM Punk, Seth Rollins, and Roman Reigns. And for night two, we have AJ Styles versus Logan Paul, the Women's Tag Team Championship match with Raquel Rodriguez and Liv Morgan versus Lyra Valkyria and Bayley. Then we have a Sin City street fight with Damian Priest, Damian Mysterio, and Drew McIntyre. The Fatal 4-Way match for the Intercontinental Championship with Dirty Dom Mysterio, Finn Balor, Bron Breakker, and Penta.
Latino Heat.
Then we have the Triple Threat match for the Women's World Championship with Bianca Belair, Rhea Ripley, and the champion, Io Sky. Then we have, obviously, the match that we have all been waiting for, the Undisputed WWE Championship match between John Cena and the champion Cody Rhodes.
You said that Tiffy and Charlotte are night one or two? Tiffy and Charlotte. Night one. Night one? Okay, good. Good. All right. As everybody knows, that's the one that I'm most looking forward to. But again, going back to Jade Cargo, going back to Naomi, a lot of different things can happen. Again, I think that it was one of the better builds for WrestleMania because it was a couple months in the making. You know, they took a little break after the whole Jade Cargill getting injured, being thrown onto a windshield thing happened. But, you know, Naomi did go and win a championship with Bianca Belair, a tag team championship, and they held it for a little bit. Jade returned at Elimination Chamber, and that ended up setting off the series of events that ended up happening there. Where Jade attacked Naomi, there is the whole buzz about was it Bianca, was it Naomi, but I think it's pretty clear now, well, I know it's pretty clear now that it was Naomi. We had mentioned yesterday, well, no, we didn't mention it, but did you notice that Bianca's been getting booed?
Yes, I have. I was talking about that with one of the girls in our group chat the other day when we were on the phone. That we were saying that we feel like it shouldn't be Bianca getting booed. That's her match. She won Elimination Chamber. If anything, Rhea should be the one getting booed. Because Rhea's the one who put herself into that match.
Is it because people feel that Liv Morgan should have won Elimination Chamber? Or why is she getting booed?
I do see that a lot. A lot of people... Liv Morgan was the fan favorite to win the Elimination Chamber, but I don't think that's the reason why. I think just everybody, the like, you know, wrestling fans, they turn very easily on a on a wrestler. So I think, which I'm glad you brought up them booing her, because that brought me to Bianca turning heel for Naomi.
Go ahead.
Which we talked about yesterday. Miriam and I got into detail about it yesterday. I do feel this is something that is very likely to happen, but at the same time, with the triple threat match coming up with Bianca and Io Rhea, but I think she is going to turn. I think she is going to go back with Naomi, because like you said, she's been getting booed. Her and Naomi have been wearing the darker colors while Jade stands out. So I think Bianca's going to turn, which is gonna make Naomi win.
I kind of thought, and y'all can chime in if y'all want to, after I'm finished, I kind of thought that Bianca would be one of those superstars like John Cena that didn't turn heel ever. You know, I thought she would have been somebody who would have been a babyface for a really long time. She's already been there for probably about 7 years. I thought she would have gone a good 10 years without being ever turning heel. So if she does, I think that'll be, I mean, She's a damn good character as a babyface. Seeing her as a heel, I think, would be, like the way we talked about Naomi, I think seeing her as a heel would be some of her absolute best work in her career. And I, if it does happen, I can't wait to see it, because I think that, again, Bianca being able to just kind of let loose and just be, you know, not have to worry about, you know, appeasing the fans, etc. I think it'll be something that, you know, will allow her to be a lot more free, and I think we'll see the best of Bianca Belair in a heel run. Jade Cargill versus Naomi. You guys said y'all are going with who?
I am going with Naomi. Miriam?
I'm also going with Naomi.
And I'm a big proponent of larger than life characters. I get a little nervous, I get a little scared, I get a little timid too. Pull the trigger on somebody who has, especially somebody like Naomi, who's been in the business for a long time. Jade Cargill is a fairly new character. She's been on a streak aside from losing a couple matches, I think, at this point. Right?
Oh, Jade?
Yeah, Jade.
Yes, she only lost to Liv.
Okay, yeah, you know, so will it hurt, as I talked about, will it hurt Jade Cargill's character? Will it not? That's left to be seen, but I think in a way she can afford to lose. And it won't necessarily hurt her character so much, especially if there's something like, you know, a heel turn from Bianca, where something ends up happening where they do have Bianca interfere in some sense. But I'm going to go with Jade Cargill, you know, just to play devil's advocate, play the opposite side. Excuse me. The next matchup, guys, that we're going to talk about is AJ Styles and Logan Paul. The Phenomenal One versus the Maverick. I'll go ahead and go first because I think this one's easy for me. I'm going to go with Logan Paul. I think I'm on a streak with Logan Paul at this point for about five premium live events now. It's difficult for me to root against Logan Paul because I think as a wrestler, as a WWE superstar in the entertainment and athletic standpoints of it, I think that he kind of is the full package. And, you know, give him 5 to 7 years, 5-10 years, you know, and I think he'll end up being one of the best superstars in at least in this modern era of wrestling. So I'm gonna go with Logan Paul. What do you guys think? Is AJ Styles gonna win? Is he gonna continue his climb up the ladder to get back to a championship, or do you think Logan Paul will take it?
This might just be pure bias for me. As you know, Logan Paul is one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. If you went on my if you listen to our top 10 episode, Logan Paul is one of my personal favorites. I hope he wins, and I see him winning. I don't see AJ Styles winning. Don't get me wrong, AJ Styles is a phenomenal wrestler, no pun intended. But I just think it's Logan Paul. Every time he steps into a WWE ring, he brings his best. He pulls out moves that are only that are only possible in games. You'd think you would only see in games. And he's just the perfect superstar. He's a natural heel. So I'm going to go with Logan Paul, locking in Logan Paul. Miriam, who do you want to win and who do you think
is going to win? Somebody has a crush.
Okay. So who I want to win, I'm not going to hold you. I kind of want AJ to win, but I think they're going to make Logan win because, you know, of his diehard supporters. But I don't really know. I don't really care for this match. When I mean my predictions, I just put I don't care because I've never been an AJ fan or a Logan fan, so I didn't really have an opinion on this one.
AJ Styles, again, I mean, going back to it, AJ Styles is somebody who was on the verge of retiring not too long ago. He was somebody who didn't know if he had it in him to make that trek back up the ladder to the championship picture. Logan Paul, I guess in a sense, can afford to lose because as a character, as a superstar, as a package, you know, he is who he is. And again, he hasn't really been in the business too long. He's really new. Whereas AJ Styles is a solidified walking Hall of Famer, you know. So I think him losing would hurt him more than a Logan Paul loss would. But I do think that Logan Paul is due for a big win, you know, especially a win at WrestleMania. That being said, I'm not changing off of my bias pick of who I'm going for. I've been on a streak with Logan Paul, as we talked about. You know, I'm as big a fan of Logan Paul as Mia is. So, you know, shout out the Maverick, and I look forward to seeing what happens. I think it's going to be one of the more entertaining, exciting matchups of the night because, like you said, Mia, Logan Paul is somebody that win or lose the match, or even if it's not the best match of the night, I think he's somebody who at least has one of the best spots of the night. And then, of course, he has his new finisher with the pulverizer, so it'll be cool to, you know, possibly see that get used in an actual match. So I went Logan.
I also went Logan. Miriam?
I'm also going with Logan.
Oh, she's going with Logan. Okay, so we're all on the same page here, you know? So the IWC is not necessarily going to like us for that one. I think the IWC is 100% camped in AJ Styles' corner. But you guys let us know on Spotify, as I always tell you. Leave a review, leave a comment, and let us know who you think will win each of these matchups. The next match that I want to talk about before we kind of start getting into every single one of the plethora of championship matches that we're going to talk about here soon, I want to talk about the Sin City Street Fight between Drew McIntyre and Damian Priest. When it first got thrown together, I kind of fell victim of the IWC and listening to the, why is this random match being put together? Why is this random match? Random match this, random match that. Not a good feud for Drew McIntyre, WrestleMania, blah, 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 blah. Whatever they may have been saying. But now that I think about it, and watching the WrestleMania, the WrestleMania kickoff yesterday, Drew McIntyre and Michael Cole re-brought up the fact that Drew McIntyre won the world championship at WrestleMania last year.
Yes.
Held it for 5 minutes and 46 seconds. And Damian Priest, after being attacked by CM Punk, after being hit with a brace in the face, and then, taking his focus off of the job at hand, Damian Priest comes in. He, you know, cashes in his Money in the Bank, ends up taking the World Heavyweight Championship, and thus began Damian Priest's World Championship run. Say what you will about it. These guys didn't feud the entire year, right?
No, it was kind of just like little things here and there.
Little interactions, little bump-ins. But I think that is the premise that they built this entire feud right here, this entire match on, is the fact that Drew McIntyre was screwed over by Damian Priest. And if I'm not mistaken, Damian Priest also knocked him out of the Royal Rumble as well.
Yes.
Right? So a lot of beef between Drew McIntyre and Damian Priest. I'm a big Drew McIntyre fan, even bigger Damian Priest fan. So that being said, I'm going to go with Damian Priest because, you know, I've had a lot of good things to say about Damian Priest. I've overhyped him a lot, especially, you know, in the last couple years, the year one of you being on the podcast in particular. Now there's so many different superstars that are on the main roster that he kind of fell towards the middle. I think the Judgment Day gimmick is kind of setting him back a little bit, not allowing him to, you know, flourish the way I felt that he could have. But I'm going to go with Damian Priest because kind of the same wrestlers, both 6'5", both big guys, both power hitters. Whoever ends up winning or losing this match, I think we're in for a good match regardless. I think the street fight is going to carry the match, you know, in its entirety. So I'm going to go with Damian Priest. What do you guys think? Who do you think is going to win?
I think, like you said, Damian Priest is a wrestler who has always stuck out, especially when it comes to the podcast. But I think it's Drew's time to get his revenge on Damian Priest for ruining everything for him at WrestleMania last year. Right, it was last year?
Yes.
I think, I think it's time for Drew McIntyre to get his revenge and to take the WrestleMania win. Miriam?
I 100% agree with Mia. I think that Drew has gotten screwed over so much times in these recent years, and I also think it's time for him to get his lick back. But also, I think it's my bias because I love Drew very much, like one of my favorite wrestlers of all time.
So, either way, like I said, whoever ends up winning, the only reason I say Damian Priest is because of my bias towards the things that I've said about him before. And again, I mean, I like the look. Everybody knows by now, outside of the braids, you know, and sometimes the mascara, you know, shout out to Damian Priest. So I understand entertainment, everything, whatever the case may be. I think we're in for a very, very entertaining match, an exciting match. And, you know, it's not often that you get a street fight at WrestleMania. So that's going to be that's kind of Drew McIntyre's expertise. You know, just get in there and be physical, be combative, and let's see what happens. But guys, that being said, we have gone through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 matches. We're going to go ahead and save the 8 matches for after this ad break because technical difficulties last night, technical difficulties in our history on this podcast. We're 45 minutes into the episode already, and we still got 8 matches to talk about, you know, so you're welcome, guys, first of all, because, you know, y'all are going to get another 40-45 minutes on the other side. But let's get into it. Let's go into an ad break, and we'll talk about the Women's Tag Team Championship, the Intercontinental Championship match, the United States Championship match, Men's World Heavyweight Championship, Women's World Heavyweight Championship Triple Threat, WWE Women's Championship match, the Triple Threat main event for Night 1, and of course, the undisputed WWE Championship between John Cena and Cody Rhodes. We will see you guys on the other side. Superstar producer Chach with the heat. You need beats. He's got the heat. Chach with the heat of the realest underground entertainment. Find him at www.dayonevibes.com. Find him on YouTube. Find him on www.beatstars.com/chachwiththeheat. Affordable beats, bangers, bangers, bangers after bangers. Chach with the heat of the realest underground entertainment is the one that you need. The one that you need, the one that you need. Any music artist, any genre, Chach with the heat of the realest underground entertainment. Chach with the heat of the realest underground entertainment. Chach with the heat of the realest underground entertainment. Contact Chach with the heat of the realest underground entertainment on Facebook at Chach with the heat, on YouTube at Chach with the heat, on Day One Vibes in the store tab, and on Facebook at Mario Chavera, and again on BeatStars at www.beatstars.com/chachwiththeheat for all your music needs and all your music purposes. Chach with the heat of the realest underground entertainment. Recording, mastering, mixing, engineering, production, cover arts, music videos, anything you need, get at your boy Rye Low of the realest underground entertainment. Rye Low, Rye Low. Get at your boy Rye Low at Ryan Lopez on Facebook. Get at your boy at RyeLow361 on Twitter. For anything and everything music that you need, logos, you need music videos, you need commercials, you need cover arts for your music, you need merchandise, you need anything from the Day One Vibe shop, anything from the realest underground entertainment, get at your boy Rylo of the realest underground entertainment, the realest underground entertainment, the realest underground entertainment. All right, guys, what's going on? Welcome back to the show. Welcome back to the episode. We just had to take our ad break real quick. We do not want any technical difficulties transpiring in this episode. That way we can all go and enjoy WrestleMania. As we know, also, WrestleMania is a two-night event. So, you know, two segments on the podcast for the WrestleMania episode. Not a bad thing. So, first matchup out of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 matchups that we are going to talk, 8 matchups that we're going to talk about right now. We're going to talk about the Women's Tag Team Championship match between Raquel Rodriguez and Liv Morgan, taking on Lyra Valkyria and Bayley. What do you guys think is going to happen? Who do y'all want to win and why? Before we do that, I'll go ahead and go first because, you know, as I told Miriam yesterday, you only live once. And Liv Morgan, I think that she is, she arguably is top 5 favorite wrestlers of all time right now, women in particular. And the Judgment Day gimmick, I also love Raquel, so not a difficult decision for me. What makes it a little bit hard, obviously I love Pamela, shout out to Bayley, but I do really, really like Lyra Valkyria's I do like her as a superstar, as a character. I think she has a long way to go in the WWE. I think she has a lot of things that she's going to accomplish. And she is also currently the Intercontinental Champion. You know, the first Intercontinental Champion for the women. So, outside of that, you know, my like for Lyra Valkyria does not trump my love for Liv Morgan. So, I'm going to go Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez over Lyra and Bayley.
And for me, it's really a biased opinion. This year's my top 10, Liv Morgan was my number one superstar. And I really would love to see Liv Morgan continue holding the Women's Tag Team Championship because, you know, she's the greatest woman in WWE. She's the greatest women's champion that we've ever gotten. But, like we mentioned yesterday, the theories that were flying around about this match, about how, who was it, how they're thinking a new Sister Abigail will be debuting tonight, right? This match is tonight or tomorrow night?
That I don't know. I don't remember.
I think this match is tomorrow night just because for the fact that Alexa Bliss
was tonight.
Eliminated at the Royal Rumble by Liv Morgan, and her return was eliminated at the Elimination Chamber by Liv Morgan. And another thing is that, according to people that watch, like, all the time, there have been Wyatt 6 figures appearing towards Alexa and Liv, which is thinking they're going to cost Liv and Raquel the championships.
You know what I just realized? On this graphic, the Night 1 matches are in black backgrounds, and the Night 2 matches are with the beige or the background of the graphic. Make sure, check that real quick, and Miriam, go ahead and tell us who you think is going to win between the two.
So, to be completely honest, I don't really like Raquel or Bailey or Lara Valkyria or Liv, but if I had to choose one, then I think that Bailey and Lara will win, because, again, like what Mia said with Sister Abigail and stuff, I don't even know. I'm not really paying attention to what's going on, but Liv and Raquel, they've been winning a little too much now, and I think that now it's time for someone else to shine.
And as I said, you know, you only live once. We only get Liv Morgan once, so I think she's on a run of a lifetime, and, you know, as much Liv as we can possibly handle and as much as we can get, I'm down for it and I'm ready for it. So I'm going with Liv and Raquel. Mia, you said you're going with...
I am also going with Liv and Raquel, but I'm hoping the Sister Abigail thing is true.
And then Miriam, you said you're going with...
No matter how much I dislike Bailey, I'm going with Bailey and Lara.
I do hope that we see an Alexa Bliss appearance at Alexa Bliss in that fiendish character with that Sister Abigail type character with the Wyatt Six. I think it's about time that the WWE does something with them, or, you know, just discontinue it altogether. But, you know, kind of having it up in the air like that, kind of having it, you know, just dangled in our face and not really doing anything about it, not really a big fan of that. I want to see something happen, man. I want to see what y'all got planned with Alexa Bliss. And obviously she still is in that dark character a little bit, right? She's still coming out with the makeup and the the pain and play. Let's see it happen, you know. Do it now at WrestleMania. Let's just see it happen. Let's see what y'all can do with it. As I said, the next matchup that we're going to talk about the United States Championship match between LA Knight and Jacob Fatu. I don't know that there will be a lot to talk about in this match or for this match, but all I know is that I'm going for LA Knight. I don't really see Jacob Fatu winning and beating LA Knight, and if he does, maybe it leads to Solo Sikoa and Jacob Fatu ending up in a feud or whatever the case may be. But I think there's still a lot left to do with LA Knight. I think there's a lot more to do with his reign. I don't think he's had any like real memorable feuds during his championship reign. This is, I think, the second time that he's been United States champion.
Yes.
So, I mean, unless you were just trying to give him another belt, you know, quickly, I want to see more happen with LA Knight. Mia, where are you going?
I'm going down the same path you are with LA Knight. Like we talked about yesterday, I do not see Jacob Fatu carrying the title. Like Miriam said yesterday, it just feels like he's kind of just there for, like just for the laughs, just to be there for Solo. You know, like, I don't really see him holding it.
I love you, Solo.
So I'm going to go with LA Knight. Like you said, I feel like they haven't done enough with him as United States champion. And I'm going LA Knight. Miriam?
I love Jacob and LA Knight both equally, and since my votes are my predictions are usually swayed by bias, I think that since I love them both, I think that like LA Knight will win, like, realistically, because, again, like what Mia said, he's there for like comedic relief. Like, I don't see Jacob with a title. Right, and even if he does become like a serious character, I still like don't see it. I don't know how to explain it. And I think they've barely done anything with Knight. So I think that Knight is 100% retaining.
And I think it's a little early right now to, I love the Yeet glasses, bro, by the way. Shout out to Jey Uso. Sorry, guys, it's on our screen right now. We're watching a WrestleMania podcast leading up to WrestleMania, because obviously, as we talked about, today is WrestleMania. So, LA Knight, I think it's a little too early to push him into the main event picture and, you know, have him fighting for those main card titles, the WWE Championship or the World Heavyweight Championship. You know, maybe against Jey Uso, maybe he could be somebody who takes it off of him, but there's still so much to do with LA Knight when it comes to the mid-card scene. You know, let him marinate there in the mid-card scene, let him, you know, polish up what needs to be polished up. I know he's, you know, a little older, you know, I think he's like 38, 37, 39, something like that, but, you know, he still has time. He's somebody who can wrestle into his 40s. You know, for a good while, and I think there's going to be a world championship in his future. But right now, let him cook, let him build, let him do what he needs to do in the mid-card championship picture, and let him do what he needs to do as the United States champion. But as I said, I think we're all going with LA Knight unanimously, right?
Yes.
Okay, so the next matchup, guys, that we're going to talk about is the Intercontinental Championship. We have a fatal four-way between the champion Bron Breakker, Penta, Cerro Miedo, Finn Balor, and then of course Latino Heat, Dirty Dominic Mysterio. I'll go ahead and go first from the top 10 episode, the top 10 wrestlers episode for me and Mia, our top 10 favorite wrestlers from 2024. I had Dirty Dom as my number one, you know. I'll say it again. Best gimmick of all time. He had Rhea Ripley, he had Liv Morgan, and even Tiffany Stratton wanted a little sum of Dirty Dom, you know. So it's always hard for me to go against Dom. It's always hard for me to root for anybody else but him when it comes to it. Latino Heat, you know what I mean? I was a big Eddie Guerrero fan, you know. Now that Dom is kind of that now in this modern era, I kind of, you know, I want to go with him, and I think Dom is who I'm casting my vote for, you know. But that being said, the other three people in this championship picture very much could be the ones to come away with it.
And for me, I have so many different like opinions. I can see this match going either way, so I'm gonna let Miriam take over so I can kind of think over my answer.
Yeah, so what match are we doing?
We are doing the Fatal 4-Way for the Intercontinental Championship.
Oh, yeah. So, to be so honest with you, I don't think that Finn's going to win. I don't see Braun retaining, and I don't see Dom holding a belt. I think, realistically, Penta's going to win because, number one, Penta's the GOAT, right? And number two, I see him, like, getting his push in WWE. He's a fan favorite, and right now he's been on his grind, right? Like, he's been doing really well, so I think that I can see him winning this WrestleMania.
And I agree. I do agree that it is time for Penta to get that push. I mean, all he has to do is just come out, and the crowd loves him. Like, I was watching the other day, and even my dad saw him, and he was like, I like this guy.
Nice.
Like, I do think it would be time for Penta to get the Intercontinental Championship, but not right now. I don't think right now is the time. I wouldn't be upset if he won. I would be so excited. But I think I'm going to go with Dominic Mysterio. Just because for the fact, like you said, he's one of the greatest, if not the greatest heel right now in WWE. But the only thing stopping him from getting that title is he won't be able to speak. He won't be able to come out to cut promos for an opponent because of, you know, how much this crowd hates him, even though he's the greatest of all time. So I think I'm going to go. Of course, I have a streak with Bron Breakker since, I think, a couple podcasts ago. So I'm going to say Bron Breakker is going to retain because Steiner math is never wrong.
Amen. Amen there. And I believe he has 129.2% chance of winning this match. So, 0.5, I'm sorry. But make no mistake, guys. Out of the four candidates in this match, each and every one of these guys has the talent, has the athletic ability, and has the chance to win this match and come away with the Intercontinental Championship. And saying that Finn Balor, just because he wasn't picked, does not at all mean that that he's going to be somebody that's not going to win. You know, Finn Balor is a world championship type fighter. He's a main eventer in every sense of the word. And he's kind of been out of the title picture for a little while, you know. So at some point, eventually, he's going to have to make his way back, starting through the mid card or all the way through the main event picture. And even though nobody's going with Finn today, as I said, don't count him out, because he is somebody that, you know, that can end up winning this match. Bron Breakker, what a dog, man. What a solid force. What a solid wrestler. He has the championship DNA running through his blood. He has the business running through his blood. Everything about Bron Breakker is the real deal. It's just, if they do take the title from him, you said it yesterday, would he be going into the main card picture? You
know? For sure. I was talking to one of the girls in our group chat, and I told her, like, Bron Breakker, like I've said so many times on this podcast, Bron Breakker is the future. Bron Breakker will be running the company in a couple years. Like I've said, I'm convinced he's the next Roman Reigns.
I'm so glad you said that. I just saw a video today on Facebook. Bron Breakker, the way he got kicked out of the 2025 Royal Rumble is the exact same way that Roman got kicked out of, I think, the 2015, 16, 18 Royal Rumble. He landed a spear, and right after he landed the spear, somebody comes, turns him around, throws him out of the ring. Literally exact same way. Is that a hint?
And I've said it so many times, and I know Miriam isn't going to like this because, you know, like she said before, D1 Roman Glazer. I would love to see in the future Bron Breakker holding the title, even if it's not for as long as Roman did, but he'd hold the title with Paul Heyman on his side. Because Paul Heyman has already said that if Bron Breakker wanted him to be his manager in the future, he would.
And I think that Bron Breakker is absolutely somebody, maybe he doesn't hold it for 1,300 days, you know, but I definitely think he's going to have himself 300-day championship reigns.
For sure.
You know, so all of those total together, I think he'll eventually at least reach those 1,300 days in cumulative titles. But yeah, so I'm going with Dom.
I am going with Bron Breakker and Miriam.
I'm going with Penta.
Cierro. Miero. All right, so the next matchup we're going to talk about, guys, here we are with some of the bigger championship matchups, the main card championship matchups. We got the World Heavyweight Championship, we got the Women's World Heavyweight Championship, and we got the WWE Women's Championship. First match we're going to talk about is the Triple Threat for the Women's World Championship. We got Bianca Belair, who we talked about earlier. We got Io Sky, and we got Rhea Ripley. Miriam, who do you think's going to win? Where do you want it to go, and why?
Okay, so I think that my glorious girl Bianca's winning. I don't really have a solid reason. I just think that, like, I just feel it in my bones that she's going to win. Yeah, I don't know what else to say.
And I agree. I think it's time for Bianca to hold a title again. But the thing is, I am not going with Rhea. Y'all will never catch me voting for Rhea on this podcast. It'd be like, it would have to like freeze, like everything just stop.
Hell would freeze over.
Exactly.
She means.
but I'm going to go with Bianca. Like Miriam said, like I said before, it's her holding a title is like, it's long overdue. You know, she hasn't held one since, what was it? She held it whenever we still had the Raw Women's Championship.
I was going to say before these championships, for sure.
So it's been a really, really long time. Io, great wrestler. She's always given, she's never disappointed in a match.
Arguably the best wrestler in the company.
Yes.
Male or female.
She is one of the greatest wrestlers I have ever seen. But I do think her title reign isn't going to be as long as people want it to be. But just because I think I know where you're going, I am going to just say Bianca for now. But I have a feeling Rhea's going to get it back.
I'm glad you said that. Rhea Ripley, I don't see losing this match. Only because, I mean, you think of the Women's World Championship and you think of Rhea Ripley. You know, she's been kind of the only one to hold it. And if not, she's been the one who has held it the longest. I do want to bring up the fact that Bianca and Rhea Ripley have such bad blood right now. I mean, arguably the build has been entirely about her. About them too, you know,
yeah.
Pushing EO to the side, both figuratively and physically, you know. Bianca would look amazing with that world championship.
Oh yeah, she would.
She would look, it would look like it was supposed to, like she was, you know, made with it, you know. And I, because of that, I would want to go Bianca. Rhea Ripley, she just, there's this synonymity between the world championship and Rhea Ripley to where it's just like, it's just, Rhea is just known for that championship at this point. But that being said, I think it's time to put a little bit of respect on our champion's name. Io Sky, one of the best wrestlers in the company, male or female, men or women. The fact that there's that bad blood going on between the two, what we would could argue are the main superstars in this matchup, I think it'll be easy for them to forget about Io Sky. And in a triple threat match, you don't have to get pinned to lose the match.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there could easily be a scenario where Rhea gets KO'd or, you know, Bianca takes a finisher and Io comes in and, you know, steals the match and ends up retaining her title. That being said, I'm going to go with Io Sky because Bianca, again, looks like she was just made for that championship. It's been probably a couple years at this point before she's held, since she's held one. Rhea Ripley, I think, has held it for long enough at this point. And Io Sky, I mean, hey, man. Whether she's a transition champion or not is yet to be seen, but I just think that Io Sky, being as technically sound as she is inside the ring, I wouldn't hate to see her retain the championship and keep it, maybe see her in a few more feuds. Not necessarily the best with the mic skills, but for what she lacks with the mic, she makes up with in the ring. That being said, I would like to go with Bianca or Rhea. But I'm going to go ahead and go out on a limb, and I'm going to go with Io Sky.
And I'm going to go with Bianca Belair and Miriam.
What Darren said about Io Sky kind of made me rethink, but I'm still going to stick with Bianca because, yeah, because I don't see Rhea holding it again.
Because she's your glorious goat. So, yeah, I just think that Io has been left out of the picture, and that makes for a dangerous competitor. So, the next matchup, guys, that we're going to talk about, only because I can't wait to talk about the Tiffy Charlotte thing. So the next thing we're going to talk about, we're going to talk about the World Heavyweight Championship between Gunther and Jay. We have Jay Uso, who obviously won the Royal Rumble in 2025. And we have Gunther, who I have argued on this podcast is one of the most, you know, complete packages of a wrestler in the world, not only in WWE. I think Gunther has the physicality. He has the understanding of the business. He can work the mic. He can work the ring. He can tell stories with his matches and his opponents. I think that it's going to be hard for Gunther. It's always hard for me to root against Gunther only because I think that he's, you know, he is the definition of a champion. He's somebody that I always thought would hold the belt. And when he does get the belt, is going to hold it for at least, at the very least, a year. have they done everything they were supposed to do with Gunther to this point since he's been on the main roster? No. You know, I can agree with that. I can admit that. But at the end of the day, you know, Jey Uso is somebody since, you know, he was the right-hand man with Roman Reigns. He ended up becoming main event Jey Uso. And, I mean, you know, despite outside of the fact that, you know, Dom's just the, you know, he's the GOAT gimmick right now. You know, bagging Rhea Ripley, Liv Morgan, and, you know, almost getting Tiffany Stratton at the same time. I think that Jey was my number two on my top 10 list. So, you know, him and Dom were my 1A and 1B when it came to my favorite wrestlers currently right now. Well, actually, not currently right now, from 2024. Gunther and Jey Uso. I'll go ahead and start it since... Do y'all have y'all's answers already?
For which match?
For Gunther and Jey.
Okay,
go ahead first.
I think I'm pretty
locked in. It's so hard for me to go against Gunther.
On having...
It just is.
That's crazy because
I love
Jey
Gunther.
Uso was going to be your number one on the list.
I love Jey. But Gunther's just such a monster, man.
He is. Felicity would love this conversation right now. She loves him. But I think I'm going to go with Jey Uso because, man, there so many people are saying the wrong brother won the Rumble. This is the wrong thing to be doing with Jey. He doesn't need it right now, but he does. This is what 100%. I have been waiting for Jey Uso. The Intercontinental Championship wasn't enough. This is Jey Uso. They don't call him main event Jey Uso for nothing. It's time for
him
to...
Even though he's not in the main event, but, you know, shout out WWE.
But he's gonna walk into WrestleMania a whole different person. Like he said that he told Gunther during the promo after Jimmy got hurt, he told him, I'm going to walk into WrestleMania. He said, I'm going to put my head on that mat and I'm going to pray for the Lord to forgive me for the person I'm going to become because of you. Which means that Jey Uso is going to come and he's going to show out and he's going to show Gunther a different side of himself.
And why is that? Talk about what happened leading up in their WrestleMania buildup. Because everybody said that it was so boring.
Which, this was probably the most exciting one.
I haven't seen Jey get beat up like that yet. We love Jimmy. Yeet, no yeet.
Gunther has always been, you know, this whole entire run, he has been getting into Jey's head. As in Jey, telling Jey he can't beat him. Like you said yesterday, it's a David and Goliath type of story. He keeps getting to his head. He attacked Jimmy. Took him out of action again.
Made him bleed. Handcuffed Jey to the ropes so he couldn't do anything about it. Legendary stuff, man.
And I feel like that right there, it kind of snapped something in Jey. It snapped that Jey... It kind of turned a switch on that he knows that he can beat Gunther not only for himself, but he can beat him for everybody else.
Specifically his brother as well. And, you know, everybody that believes in him, the people who, you know, do believe in him as opposed to the people who don't, you know, and then proving the people that don't believe in him wrong, that he can do it. And, you know, Jey Uso was... He admitted, you know, that he didn't know if he could beat him. He admitted he was scared. You know, he admitted he was going into that match insecure and uncertain about his abilities when it came to fighting Gunther. Did you notice he dropped the yeet gimmick lately?
I did notice, which is another reason why I'm saying he's walking in there a completely different Jey Uso. Meriem.
Meriem, what do you think's going to happen? I'm so sorry.
I don't know. No, you're good. It's okay. So, Meredith think that... What's it called? I don't know. I feel like Jey's going to win because, like, he's a big fan favorite. I think that they're going to train him since, like, he's not... To be so honest, I love Jey Uso, but I don't think he's that good in the ring, unlike Gunther. So, I think that they're going to train him more. And since he's such a great fan favorite. I think they're gonna give him the title and try to make him like try to push him more.
I agree, and like Mia said, I the Intercontinental Championship just wasn't enough. You know, there's so much left to do with Jey Uso's career as a single superstar. You know, seeing him and Jimmy have that rematch, you know, and having it for a belt eventually one day would be something that I want to watch. They kind of disappointed with their WrestleMania match a few years ago, you know, three, four years ago.
I think that was because it was kind of rushed.
Yeah, it was definitely rushed to be put together, which is on the WWE, because a match like that, man, you got to build it properly. You got to do it the right way. But with all the things that were going on, you know, at the time, it was just a little difficult to make that front and center priority, you know, which I can understand that. But I'm going with Jey. I'm going with Jey only because, you know, I've talked about it on the podcast before. If I was a wrestler,
you would be Jey Uso.
That would be me. You know, I would same hair, same grill, same glasses, same gear, same tattoos, same sleeve, everything about it. The yeet, you know, everything about it. That is the epitome of what I would have walked into and turned into in the WWE as well. So, always hard for me to go against Gunther. So hard. So it's not like this was an easy decision for me, because again, my mind tells me that Gunther is going to win, because if I was a promoter, if I was booking the matches, how do you have Gunther lose at all, ever? You know, like, how do you not have him like 20-0 at WrestleMania type of thing, you know? And then he did lose to Sami Zayn at WrestleMania last year, right? Or when was it that he lost to Sami?
He lost. Yeah, it was last
year. Was it last year at WrestleMania? It wasn't for a champ. No, it was, right? For the Intercontinental Championship?
Sami's the one who took it off him. That's whenever he was holding it for a super long time.
So, I mean, coming off of that loss, having him lose to somebody who is arguably not as talented a wrestler, you know, that's always going to be a difficult decision. But Jey Uso is the merchandise you know, seller right now. He's one of the top in the WWE. He has the crowd behind him. Arguably one of the best entrances, you know, right now in the WWE. I'm going to go with Jey, and that's my heart telling me that I want to go with the underdog. I want to root for the underdog. So the match that we've been waiting to talk about, at least myself, the Battle of the Barbies, guys. We got Charlotte Flair versus Tiffany Stratton. We got, you know, some have called it, I don't even want to say it, but grandma versus granddaughter.
But, the substance.
Bro, the IWC, y'all are so toxic, bro. Y'all are so toxic, guys. Y'all need to chill out for a little bit and just stop getting me in trouble, okay? Because I'd be saying the most outlandish things that I could think of when we're here on the mic because of you guys, you know? But I'm just kidding. Charlotte Flair versus Tiffany Stratton. I believe that this has the potential to steal the entire weekend. Cody and John better be careful. Roman, Seth, and CM Punk better be careful, because if Tiffany and Charlotte do it right, they very much have the potential to steal all the hype,
for sure,
all the news from every single person participating in both nights, and I think they could run away with the best match and best story of the weekend. I hope it doesn't stop here. I hope it's a story that's ran into WrestleMania backlash. I hope it's something that they continue doing, and I hope Tiffany wins. I mean, you know, say what you want about the build-up, you know, it was a little stale at first. It wasn't something that was too hot. It wasn't catching too much fire as compared to what people were thinking about, until one Friday night, you know, and I think everybody knows what I'm talking about. If you don't, Mia, you got the promo for us, guys. We everybody knows which promo we're talking about. There is mixed feelings on it. There is mixed opinions. Some people liked it, some people didn't, there was the shoot between Charlotte Flair and Tiffany Stratton that basically set this match on fire, you know, set the build up on fire, and it did it in 2 weeks, you know. And now, in my opinion, it's the most anticipated match of WrestleMania weekend. Mia, go ahead and play that promo for us.
You're gonna be just like you are outside of the ring.
I'm telling you guys, I'm telling you, there's something about when wrestlers shoot that makes it much more personal, makes it more real, makes it better, you know, and it adds that want to watch when it comes to the actual match and it comes to the beef, the feud. A lot of opinions on Charlotte Flair when it comes to not wanting to give up her spot. Charlotte Flair's chasing her dad's record. You know what I mean? She's going for the record of 17 to break it. She wants to break it, at least try to tie it. And I think she's at, what, 14 right now? Or 13?
I'm not too sure. I'll search it right
she's
now.
She's not, yeah, search it up. But she's not very far. You know, you have the whole she buries talent. Some people have said Tiffany Stratton's not ready to swim in the deep end when it comes to an actual match. You take that match 15 minutes. How's she going to do after the first 10? There's a lot of questions going into this match. But, you know, I think athletically, outside of Bianca Belair, two of the most athletically gifted women on the roster right now. You know, did you find it?
It says that she has held a total of 14 titles.
14 titles. She needs two more. She gets this one. That's 15. She's one away from her dad's record from tying it, you know, and I think maybe she won't break it. Maybe she will. But I think at the very least, Charlotte Flair is going to retire having matched her dad's record of 16 titles. And, you know, who knows, guys, in the day and age that we live in, she might just be the first one to break it if John doesn't do it tonight. You know, so Tiffany Stratton, Charlotte Flair, you guys go ahead and give y'all's opinion on it before we make our picks. Because I could talk about this forever.
So can I. This is the match that I have been waiting for since I became a Tiffany Stratton fan.
100%, yeah.
Before I even knew of this feud, I remember telling myself, man, this girl reminds me of Charlotte Flair. But she's just the version, like what did I say yesterday, that Tiffany Stratton is not only going to be the new Charlotte Flair, she's going to be what Charlotte Flair wishes she was. That Tiffany can easily get over with the fans. Because even before, Tiffy was a bad guy.
It's been
guy
Tiffy time since.
Since she debuted on the main roster.
On NXT.
Even in NXT.
Yep.
Everybody loved her. And that has been Charlotte's biggest rival,
mm-hmm,
is the crowd. She cannot get over with the crowd. Yeah, she was in my top 10, but there are times where I'm like...
She was also in the top 10
female wrestlers
of all time, which, guys, we have it recorded. Again, tap into our Signs and Sports podcast, you know, Cash App and donate. That way we can get that thing up and going. You know, it costs money to keep this thing moving. But, yeah, she was number 2 on that list, Charlotte Flair. Love or hate her.
Yeah.
She's one of the greatest in-ring competitors on the women's side we've ever seen. Arguably, you know, top 20 of everybody.
Whether you hate her or you love her, you have to respect that she is one of the greatest women's champions, women, ever. But other than that, it's Tiffy time. It's been Tiffy time since Tiffany Stratton has stepped foot into the WWE. So I'm going that Tiffany Stratton is going to retain her title and take the queen off of her throne. Miriam?
So I hate Charlotte, and I think that Tiffany is the better version of her. I think she's better on the mic, in the ring, et cetera, et cetera. And Tiffany isn't my favorite, but she is definitely the future of WWE, and I think that she will be retaining.
At 25 years old, you know, as we talk about a lot of superstars, give them 5 more years and where will they be? Tiffany Stratton, I think, might be in that, you know, upper echelon when it comes to women's superstars on that side. And could she become Becky Lynch level? I think so. This one's hard for me, guys. I don't know who I'm gonna pick, but it's Tiffy time and I'm going with Tiffany Stratton. It's not hard at all, and it's a very easy pick for me. I mean, what can I say? You know, she's the future face of the company. She's the future face of WWE. It's Tiffy time. It's been Tiffy time ever since she stepped into NXT, into the Performance Center. all she's ever done is ascend and climb up that ladder, and look where she is at 25 years old. So that being said, here we come and here we are to the final two matches that we have to talk about with 2% on my phone left. We got the triple threat match between Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, and CM Punk. And we got John Cena versus Cody Rhodes for the undisputed WWE Championship. The triple threat, guys, we have Paul Heyman's allegiance on the line here. He owes Seth Rollins a favor. He was the wise man for the tribal chief, and he is currently the advocate for CM Punk. A lot of things that have been talked about over the last few days have really, really, really changed my mind about what is going to happen here. So, Mia, I'll let you go and take it first, and I'll go ahead and we can come back around to me at the end, because my answer is not the same as it was last night. So,
guys, this is so hard. Like, I don't even know who I'm going to root for. I'm obviously going for Seth Rollins. Not even to be biased, but, like, you all know. Ever since I stepped foot in this studio, Seth Rollins has always been my number one guy. There's not one podcast episode where I haven't gone against him. The last Facts. One, I almost went against him Logan Paul.
Very close.
But did I? No, I didn't. Even if he disappoints me sometimes, I will never root against him. But it's not out of just me being biased. You know, my favorite wrestler, first wrestler I've ever seen on the screen. Like I said yesterday, that might have convinced somebody here. Roman Reigns. Seth Rollins, CM Punk, and Roman Reigns. Out of those three names, the one that is the most dedicated to wrestling, the one that is the most passionate about wrestling, that isn't there for the money, that is there for the fans, that is there for everybody there, is Seth Rollins. For the business. Exactly. Is the business. What's it called? CM Punk was gone for 10 years. Roman Reigns, we barely see him on TV. Seth Rollins is there every single week, if not every other week. He's always the first one to volunteer for something. He's always fighting, even though he could be injured. He had a broken back for I don't know how long, and he still went out there and he still fought all these matches. And just like you mentioned, Paul Mescal, sorry guys, Paul Heyman, he owes Seth a favor. And what favor is it going to be other than helping Seth win at the WrestleMania main event that he deserves? Mariam, what do you think's going to happen?
If you know me as a person or as a girl, you know, like, I'm D1 Roman Glazer. Like, I love Roman Reigns. That, like, we're basically married in my head, right? But no matter how much I love Roman Reigns, that still doesn't cancel out the fact that I think Punk is winning. I think they've screwed Punk over so much. And this is his first and probably his last WrestleMania since he's 46 and retiring. So I think he deserves to win this WrestleMania. Also having Paul Heyman by his side. And I think the tricky part is the fact that Paul owns Seth a favor, right? So I don't know. I think even if if the favor is, oh, help me win at WrestleMania, if he has a choice to be like, oh no, then I feel like he wouldn't, because CM Punk's his husband, right? But if, like, since he doesn't have a choice, I feel like he's being forced, even if he doesn't want to help Seth. So my mind, like, is saying Punk is winning, but, like, the facts say Seth might win, but I'm still staying with my vote that Punk's gonna win.
As much as I want to root for Roman Reigns because everybody else picks something different, Mariam, you're right. All the facts are pointing to the fact that Seth Rollins might just win this match. Paul Heyman, I think, is going to play the biggest factor in this match. And I think the biggest winner from this match and the biggest career boost that will happen, career resurgence, I should say, is going to be Mr. Paul Heyman. I think for a long time, working under Brock Lesnar, working under Roman Reigns, a little bit of his credibility and value as a manager kind of, you know, was disparaged. But if Paul Heyman turns on not only Roman Reigns, but Seth Rollins' favor is that Paul Heyman helps him win this match tonight, I think that Seth Rollins is absolutely going to win this match. And the things that Seth Rollins and Paul Heyman can do together, what it'll do to Seth Rollins' career, the resurgence that it will have for Paul Heyman, I think are going to be, it's going to be huge. You know, you'll re-solidify. I mean, Paul Heyman's already a Hall of Famer, you know, and each of these guys are already Hall of Famers. Actually, Seth Rollins, the workhorse, the true workhorse in this match right here. I think each of these guys have had Paul Heyman in their corner. Seth Rollins has not, you know. And again, so many of the things that I've been hearing over the weekend, whether it be the Busted Open podcast, whatever the case may be, Paul Heyman, I think, is going to get a favor done for Seth Rollins. Maybe it's Brock Lesnar coming back and F5-ing both Roman Reigns and CM Punk and leaving them thrown on the floor, and Seth Rollins gets the pin. I initially thought that Seth Rollins was added into this match to take the pin. That way Roman doesn't look soft, and CM Punk doesn't have to, you know. But the more that I think about it, I think it's time to pay your dues to Seth Rollins, and I think it's time to give him that spotlight. But again, CM Punk, it being in his first WrestleMania main event, how are you going to make him lose? CM Punk's who I went with last night. That's who I thought was going to take the match last night. But over just this morning, my thoughts have changed. My opinion has changed, and I think Seth Rollins is going to end up winning this match. Anybody else have any more opinions on it? One more thing. As we talked about last night, Roman versus Rock. If you're ever going to do it, I think that it needs to be done. Also, shout out to Roman Reigns. This is actually his 10th WrestleMania main event. Most all time. Same. Yeah, not main event, I'm sorry. 10th WrestleMania main event. I think Stone Cold Steve Austin had like 5 of them. Hulk Hogan had 8. Ric Flair might have had 6. What's that? Hell yeah. Oh, he is or not? No? Okay. Sorry, guys. Whatever. But yeah, Roman with 10 WrestleMania main events. Aside from that, which arguably could lead me to think, oh, well, Roman might just end up winning. They might put him back on top. But if you ever are going to do Rock versus Roman, I think it needs to start with Roman losing. Rock coming back and challenging Roman for that tribal chief head of the table spot and making Roman work his way through the family, whether it be Tom. Well, starting with Thomas, starting with Tonga Loa. Jacob Fatu, and you know, ultimately and inevitably getting to the final boss, The Rock, you know. And I think that's what they might be planning for Roman Reigns. If it's not, I hope it is, you know. I hope that is where they end up going. But as hard as it is for me between CM Punk and Seth Rollins, I think I'm gonna go with Seth. And Mia, you changed my mind.
See, these are the days I've been waiting for everybody to root for Seth Rollins. I say, out of all three of them, no hate to Roman Reigns and no hate to CM Punk. They are both, like you said, Hall of Famers already. I feel like the one that really deserves it out of all of them is Seth. And that's not even me being biased. That's just the fact that he has been there every single pay-per-view. He has never once left us for a long amount of time. So I'm staying Seth Rollins. Miriam?
I'm still staying with CM Punk.
All right. So, guys, the final match of WrestleMania weekend, the main event of night number 2, the biggest match on this card, you have John Cena chasing down the record-breaking 17th title win to break Ric Flair's 16 World Championship reigns, and you have the American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes. This one's gonna be huge. This one's gonna be big. This is gonna be a match. They turned up the heat with their promo last night. You know, what do you guys think's gonna happen? Who do you guys think's gonna win? John Cena versus Cody Rhodes.
For me, like I said yesterday, I never thought I'd say this, but I feel like John Cena's walking out with the win. Even if it's not something that the people don't want, I think it's going to be John Cena winning. Like I said yesterday, he said in a promo that he's not only going to walk into WrestleMania and then walk out with the championship, but he's going to ruin wrestling for everybody. For every single person that has ever watched wrestling, he's going to ruin it. How else would he ruin it? By beating the top guy. By beating the one that everybody loves. Somebody that is the new John Cena. Everybody loves Cody Rhodes. You see kids, the fans, they all love Cody Rhodes. So how else could he ruin wrestling? John Cena's taking it. As much as I don't want to say it, John Cena's winning tomorrow night. And Miriam?
I don't know. I'm kind of stuck on this one. I feel like Cody's going to win because, honestly, I don't feel like John is, like, has a place, like, to do anything in the WWE after WrestleMania. Like, I don't see him really doing anything because he just said that, like, oh, I'm retiring, whatever, whatever. But, like, I don't know how to explain it. I think Cody's going to win. I was going to say Punk. But I think Cody's going to win overall because I feel like he's, like, the new face of WWE. Like, I'm not saying John Cena's washed, but you know what I mean.
And, I mean, again, man, John Cena did say after WrestleMania, I am done. It's my last WrestleMania match or match, whatever you want to say, whatever it was that he did say. But shout out to the Busted Open podcast again. You know, they said, what do heels do best? They lie. You know, and what if John Cena said that only so he could get his final, he can get this opportunity, he ends up winning, he ends up coming back. I don't know. I don't know what John Cena's schedule looks like going forward. I don't know what it is that he's going to do. And mainly for that reason, outside of the reason that Cody Rhodes, you know, for a long time was number one on my top 10 list. You know, I had as much of a streak as I could with the American Nightmare. It's always hard for me to root against Cody. John Cena, you know, childhood favorite wrestler. You know, he was my favorite wrestler for a very long time, for a good 10 years. You know, so many memories, whether it was a Doctor of Thuganomics, whether it was Super Cena, Hustle, Loyalty, Respect, whatever the case may be. This is genuinely one of the matches, one of the WrestleMania main events. You know, ever since something like Roman, Cody, Brock Lesnar, Cody, I don't know where this is going. Genuinely, I don't know where it's going. I don't know what's going to happen. The only thing and the one thing that makes me say, you know what, Cody is going to defend this title, is that I don't know what John Cena's schedule looks like going forward into the future. I don't know if he's done after WrestleMania. Are they going to have him win and then take the title and all of a sudden they create a new title and there's a vacant title that there's a tournament for and somebody ends up coming and taking it? But as we talked about last night, there's always two sides of the coin when it comes to each match. And here you have Cody Rhodes extending his story, you know, adding another legend into his the list of names that he defeated. Or you have John Cena chasing a record. Do you have Cody Rhodes go over two times, over two historic things that were supposed to happen that end up don't happening because you go forward with Cody Rhodes? There was Roman Reigns versus Rock, where, you know, Cody's fans ended up pushing him and forcing him into that scenario where, no, we don't want Roman Rock. We want Cody versus Roman at WrestleMania. And then, of course, John Cena winning his 17th title. If he does go over. That's two historic feats that Cody Rhodes, two historic instances Cody Rhodes would have stepped in the middle of. I don't know what happens. All I know is that I'm rooting for the American Nightmare, and I'm rooting for Cody Rhodes, and I hope that he continues his story, and I hope that he extends it, because I did mention one time that Cody's reign was getting a little stale, was getting a little boring, but this right here, I'm sorry, Cody. You know, this reestablished that flame for what it is that I want to see from you. This reestablished that passion for wanting to see you continue and see more feuds and see more championship defenses, title defenses. I want to see what happens. I want to see what happens going forward. And as I've always talked about, the American Nightmare gimmick is one of my favorite in wrestling right now. So I'm going to lock it in. I'm going with Cody Rhodes, and that's who I think's going to win WrestleMania main event for night number two.
And I'm keeping my answer with John Cena for the main event of WrestleMania. Mariam?
I'm also keeping my answer for Cody Rhodes.
All right, guys. And that wraps up the not only WrestleMania podcast for the 3&D Science and Sports Podcast Mia Made It series, but also the Easter podcast. You know, shout out to everybody. Happy Easter as well. You know, we didn't get a chance to say that last night, so maybe that was God saying, hey, you know what? You forgot about me. You know, so happy Easter to everybody. Thank you for tuning in. Mia, Mariam, you guys got anything else you want to talk about or anything else y'all want to say?
I just want to say a thank you to Mariam for joining the podcast for the second time. And we'll have her and another special guest on our WrestleMania Backlash episode. And like Darren said, happy Easter, everybody. Don't forget the real reason for the season. I hope y'all all have a safe Easter and a fun WrestleMania. And Mariam, again, thank you for being on the podcast, and we'll see you on the next one.
Thank you.
The realest underground entertainment, TRUE. Hashtag that. True. The realest underground entertainment. Your source for local music. Your source for local marketing, hype, branding, exclusive experience. What do you need? What do you got? How can we help you? How can you help us? How can we help you? TRUE, the realest underground entertainment. Rilo, Tone G, Merculation, DIG, JB, Chach with the heat. Shout out to Villain Vision Music, A2J, Villain Vision Music, A2J, Villain Vision Music, A2J. Check out the Realest Underground Entertainment at True Records on YouTube, at the Realest Underground Entertainment on Facebook, and at Day One Vibes, the home of the Realest Underground Entertainment. Get at your boys.